Good morning. Happy Sabbath. For those of you that have not seen since last year, Happy New Year. I know some of you I have not seen since last year, and I just wanted to make sure that you are having a Happy New Year. You know, happiness can be, it's really an attitude that we could have with the heart. Because in a world that we live in with sadness and financial troubles and whatever, any other trouble that you might be facing or people are facing or family members are facing, somehow we could still have happiness in our heart. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Happy New Year for those of you that are here for the first time, and well, if you are here for a first-time guest, we're glad that you're here. If you were here, you saw the announcement. Our guests, there is a fellowship meal known to us as a common meal. You are welcome to attend that. Our hosts, would you raise your hand, Chuck and Sharon? They're right there, and they'll be more than glad to have you at home. They're all prepared. So if you're a guest, a visitor that's here, please see them after the service. They'll be more than glad to give you directions or even take you. Hopefully you have a big car. Take it to their home. This morning, we are going to be studying a passage that we find in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, if you brought your Bibles, if you open your Bibles to chapter 5 of John, and we're going to be studying and commenting out of that passage that we have there. But before we do, I'd like to invite you, if we could bow our heads and have a word of prayer as we begin to study. Father, I thank you once again for giving us an opportunity to be here, for giving us an opportunity to worship as a church family. Thank you for life. Thank you for this beautiful Sabbath. And I pray that as we open the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit may work in our minds, in our hearts, as we learn this morning what the Holy Spirit, what God Himself would want for us in our life today. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. Let me stop here and just make sure that we get an idea, we get the whole picture of what's really going on. We have in this pool a large crowd of people, sick people. We have blind people, lame people, paralyzed people. We have people that probably outcasts, lepers, all kinds of sick people there, and they are all waiting for one thing. They would be some probably that had the advantage from others that could probably sit or stand or be close to the edge of the pool there. They're there. The ones that maybe didn't have that advantage would be maybe around the pool. But they're all waiting for one thing to happen. And they're all looking at the calmness of the pool because they're waiting for the water to be stirred. Because the belief was that once an angel would come and stir the waters, the first one Okay, the first one that would dive into that pool would be healed. He would be healed of whatever disease he had. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately, the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath day. Let's use our imagination here for a little bit. And I think most of you could just think about this in your mind. A pool. A beautiful pool surrounded by these beautiful, let's just say, marble porches. 5 of them. And now you have that in your mind. Now start filling it up. Not with people in suits walking around. This big nice party in the homes how they used to have. Now don't think that. Start filling that up now with sick people. Lepers. And paralytics. And those that couldn't blind talk. The mutes, start filling them up, that beautiful place, with all kinds of people. And among them was a man that had been there for 38 years. He'd been sick for 38 years. For a long time, he had been trying to get to the water. But he couldn't. He said every time he tried, someone else got there before him. I guess if you didn't have friends, you were in trouble. Because if you were a paralytic, somebody had to at least try to take you to the water when the water was stirred. And there was this man there, trying to reach the water. And maybe at some point, he got so discouraged that he was just there. Because in those surroundings, he was there with his friends. He had made friends with all the others that were there. And they were just talking and probably the sickness and everything else that they were there for to get healed, that was out of the question now, because everybody else was always coming in before him. And maybe him and all his other friends were already all comfortable with being sick there at the pool. And so they had decided just to make the best of it. We're sick. We can't do anything about it. Let's just have a party of it and let's just be here as friends. They hadn't gotten comfortable with their condition. Then something happens. Jesus comes into the pool. Whenever Jesus comes into some place, something happens. Have you noticed that? Whenever Jesus Christ comes into some place, something happens. And this time, Jesus came into the pool. And he did not need the water to be stirred to heal. Because he was the healer himself. And why he picked this man, we don't know. But the scripture says that Jesus Christ already knew that this man had been in that condition for a very long time. Jesus knew that already. And Jesus comes and he walks and he points at that man and he asks him a question. A simple question. Do you want to get well? Simple enough. And the man replies. This is what the man replied. Well, when the angel stirs the water, someone always gets there before I do, so I never get healed. Do you notice that the man didn't answer Jesus' question? The man gave him an excuse. He gave him an excuse. And we're not any different. Sometimes the Lord comes and asks us a question and we give him an excuse. Do you want to be made well? So Jesus hears the excuse and Jesus doesn't answer to the excuse that the man gave him. Jesus goes ahead and answers and gives him an answer as if the man would have said yes. We're talking about prayer one time, and Jean and I were talking about prayer, and she commented on the fact that when we pray, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to translate that to God. In other words, we pray and the Holy Spirit says, God, this is what he meant to say. And I praise the Lord for that. Because like the disciples, I keep asking that question, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. So in that excuse that the man gave him, Jesus sort of found a yes there, somewhere in there. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Jesus is in the business of making us well, isn't he? Yes, he is. And you and I may not have the same sickness that this man had. All right? But I'll tell you one thing. We are a lot like that man. If I were to ask your age, and let's just say somebody told me 25, well, I could say then that you've been sick for 25 years. And if somebody said 76, you've been sick for 76 years. But Jesus wants to heal because he is in the business of healing. I said that we are a lot like that man, that sometimes we become comfortable in our lifestyle. The way we are, this is the way I am. I cannot get to the water, so might as well do the best of it. We are sometimes comfortable with that little bit of sin that we have within us. It's not bad, right? It's just a little. Just a little bit. So it's not bad. And then we might have the excuse, but it's not as bad as the bad person out there. Does that make it right? So we have the same situation. And this morning, Jesus is coming to your hearts, to our hearts this morning, and He's asking a simple question. Today, this is the question He's asking you. Do you want to be made well? I wanted to introduce you to a gentleman. I asked him if he could come, and he said it was too far for him to come. So the next thing I had him do is to write his testimony. And he did. He wrote his testimony. 12 pages of it. But let me read you his testimony. Now, I'm just going to be skipping through a lot of the things, but I want you to meet Alan. And Alan starts his testimony with this question. It was one word. And he says, evil? Question mark. I was the epitome of evil. I went online and ran a background check. The printer ran out of ink after 7 pages. And he says, I'm not talking ancient history here. I'm talking 6 or 7 years ago. Whatever I was into, I could not get enough. I was a first-class glutton. Money, I couldn't get enough. Everything had a price. As much as traffic would bear, I wouldn't even answer the phone unless there was something in it for me. I had to have things, good things, the best of things, a fancy house, state-of-the-art computer, motorcycles, guns, dozens of them, even though I wasn't allowed to own them because of prior felonies, a brand-new 4x4 truck, boats, motorboats, tools, the best brands, welders, it's still in the box. He says, I had to have things. Booze was pretty much a constant companion for about 1970 till about 2001. Even when I was in prison, he says, 3 visits totaling about 10 years. My cellmate bought Menin skin bracer from the commissary and drank it. He was a disgusting alcoholic, drinking aftershave. I wasn't an alcoholic. I just drank Listerine. 4 bottles was the limit a week. You're supposed to put that in your mouth, and he says, I even figured out a way to distill it and get the pure alcohol out of it. When I was on the streets, I never drank too much. I always quit when I passed out. My 9-year-old son, he said, took one Polaroid picture of me passed out on the floor after I wet my pants, and I addressed the problem by locking up the camera. I always bought pints of whiskey instead of fifths. The flat bottle won't roll out of from under the seat when you get pulled over. One thing I could never figure out is how all those cash machine receipts, when he used to go out drinking, would get into his pocket. He started sniffing glue when he was 12. He started doing pot, amphetamines, barbiturates at the time when he was 15. He went to all kinds of reformatory schools, which he got kicked out of. He says, I drank the first 3 years of my marriage, but left the drugs alone. He didn't want to go back to prison. Then my wife decided I had a problem with alcohol. The AA program has 12 steps. The first of which is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. It wasn't my life that was unmanageable, it was my wife. The more I drank, the more unmanageable she became. She was off the hook, she said. He says, I married a demon. She made me go to treatment under the threat of divorce. It was her fault. I started using prescription drugs. She couldn't smell them on my breath. At first, my source was medicine cabinets. I always had to use the bathroom when visiting or working on other people's houses. Not very predictable, so I started scamming doctors, lying about symptoms to get prescriptions. But the doctors wouldn't give me enough. They acted like they were paying for them. I needed more and more, so I began to burglarize doctor offices, stealing syringes and samples the drugs rep left for the doctors to give out. But I had to do a burglary every 2 or 3 days because the sample packs didn't have very many pills in them. And it didn't take me long to run out of doctor's office in the great metropolitan area. So he started going to the drugs. He started stealing. He robbed every high school pharmacy, Fred Meyer, Payless, Pay and Save, Clark County. He was caught. He went to prison. Then he got out of prison, he said, and he married again. Same scenario. I drank until I was forced to quit with the threat of divorce. Another ingrate, he says, started drugs again, heroin. I mean, he started doing everything. Driver's license, he says, they were all gone. So he had to take the buses. So what did he do? He stole a master key to all of the garages in the huge apartment complex. And he got a shopping cart and 2 big duffel bags. He went from garage to garage, stealing everything he could to put in the duffel bags. Tools, all kinds of things. Then he wheeled those shopping carts to the bus to discover that when the bus arrived, he couldn't lift the duffel bag into the bus. He kept stealing, he says. I kept stealing until I got caught for 2 stolen cars, possession of a machine gun, possession of burglar tools, and meth and cocaine. He said he figured out a way of how to drive drunk without getting a DUI. One morning, he says, I drove up the street to the wrecking yard. He worked at a wrecking yard. He had access to a tow truck. One morning, I drove up the street to the wrecking yard with a stolen Camry he had stolen on the back of the tow truck and saw a dozen state patrol cars and a SWAT van. They had the place surrounded. They knew it was for him. So he said he drove right on past and dumped the tow truck in the grocery store parking lot, and he never looked back. I'll tell you, I'm not going to... 6 years ago in Seattle, he says, I was standing in a motel parking lot in the middle of the night with my arms full of power tools he had just stolen. He saw a policeman driving by. Had he seen me, he says, I'd have spent the rest of my life in prison because he had such extensive criminal record. One day, he says, he was deathly sick. He said he'd been shooting the dope in his neck because I could not find any other veins. And even that was iffy. I mean, he had used them up so much that they were all torn. He couldn't use the veins in his arms no more. He started with his neck. Deathly sick. Tired of being sick. He had no dope, and when I got the dope, it just got me well, he says. I couldn't get high anymore. It took $100 worth of dope a day just to function like a normal person. That was the night my life changed. I asked a God I didn't believe in to help me overcome my addiction. And this is where I begin to know out. It was in a prayer meeting. One of the members said, we need to pray for someone that's an atheist, does not believe in God, and he is in a lot of trouble. And without knowing who he was, we started praying for Alan. I had the privilege of being able to baptize Alan. And when he gave his testimony, he said, if God could pull me out, if God could pull me out of the place where I was, he said, there is hope for everybody else. Alan said, and he used to go to, before he met Christ, the best time for him to go to church was on Christmas. Especially, he said, when Christmas fell on a Saturday, on a Sunday. Because he used to go to church, and while everybody else was worshiping, he was breaking into their cars, stealing all the gifts that were in the cars. This was Alan. A man that you would say had no hope. A man that was deep into drugs, into trouble. And I mean, I didn't read 12 pages. But you know what? One day, Jesus Christ came and looked at him square in the face and said, Alan, do you want to be made well? And even though he did not believe in a God, yet his answer was, I do. I want to be made well. Terrible bad guy, isn't he? Or was he? And let me use my imagination this morning, because our church has nice pillar type porches type of thing. Imagine that. Imagine these beams here as our porches. Put marble on them if you want. And make a nice circle here. The other side too. And now imagine this center section here. Right here. Make that the pool. That is the pool right there. Now, all we need is a whole bunch of sick people. And where are we going to get those? Where will we get a whole bunch of sick people that need Jesus Christ? The first Praise the Lord. Admitting that we are sinners is the first step to recovery. Thank you for raising your hand. We are the group of sick people. Yeah, but Pastor, we don't do drugs. Yeah, we don't do drugs. We do other things. You know, the day that Jesus died, in my mind, the way I see it, the day that Jesus died, He stirred the waters. And the waters have been stirring since that time, so that anybody that could come to Jesus would be healed, because the waters are constantly being stirred. And you don't have to be the first one to come in. You could be the last one to come in. You could come in the middle. Anyone, whoever believes, can have forgiveness of sin. But you might say, Lord, I can't come to you right now because I'm a child. I go to school, I play, get home, do my homework. I'm just a child. Not now, Lord. I'm too busy doing that. I can't come to you now. And then the Lord continues to ask as you grow. He says, do you want to be made well? And we respond, Lord, I'm so busy with my youth and high school and practice and trips and mission trips and all kinds of things. Not now. So the Lord waits. And then He asks, do you want to be made well? Not now, Lord. I'm busy with college. Lord, you know what college is like? Term papers and homework and all, and working at the same time. Not now, Lord. I'm busy. And the Lord waits. And then He comes back and He says, do you want to be made well? Lord, not now, I'm busy. I graduated, I got married, now I have a family to support. I'm busy with the kids, the wife, and work. I'm not ready yet. And the Lord waits. And He comes back and He says, do you want to be made well? Lord, I worked so hard, and now I'm retired. I worked so long, I paid off this, I paid off that. Now, I want some time for myself. And then the Lord comes and says, do you want to be made well? Lord, I'm so old now and feeble that if I come to you now to be made well, what could you use me for? The Bible says that Jesus said to the man, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And then it says that day was the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is a great day to get healed, don't you think? And wouldn't you know it? Today is a Sabbath day. And we have a pool here in the middle, and we have porches, arches, and we have sick people. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus is here too. And He's asking, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Are you willing to pick up your bed and walk? Are you willing to come and be healed from pride? How about from anger? Resentment? Selfishness? And don't get this wrong. Because we usually say, yes, but Pastor, those aren't as bad as what Alan was doing. I mean, that guy was a terrible guy. Can't believe that. Drinking Listerine. Doing about every kind of drug known to mankind. Stealing. It is simple today. It's a simple question. Jesus is here. And He's asking, do you want to be made well? As we sing hymn number 321. My Jesus, I love Thee. I want You to do something in your heart. I'm not going to ask for You to come down so I could have prayer with You. I'm not going to do that this morning. But as we're singing, My Jesus, I love Thee, ask Jesus into your heart and ask Him to make you well. Because He will come into your life and make you well. Ask Him as we sing.
My Jesus, I love.
the last verse. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow.
Nice thought that we're going to be singing, it says, with the glittering crown on our brows. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, it's now. It is now. What an opportunity that because He loved us so much, He's willing to share a place that He has prepared for us. Do you want to be made well? Let's pray. Father, I think in our hearts, we want to be made well. We want to be cleansed from our anger and our selfishness and our bitterness. We want to be cleansed from every sin that puts a wall between You and us. We want to be cleansed. We want to be made in the likeness of Jesus. Father, the man was healed. And he went home well. And we believe in Your promises, and by faith we accept Your forgiveness. And by faith we will realize that as we leave this place, we too would have been healed on a Sabbath day. Thank You. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen.